Still got some things going on here, Paul, if you could fix them. To Psalm 107, this is the last, that's the other way. I'm in a barrel. This is the last of the Songs of Summer series. Did anybody wake up to a cool morning this morning? Wasn't that glorious? And the reason why I waited until weeks after you guys started school, which is when you think that summer is over, is because it's Labor Day weekend when I was a kid that summer got over. Because we started school after that, didn't we? Yes, we did. So we're wrapping up the Songs of Summer today with Psalm 107. Don't have time to do the whole psalm. You may want to go back and look it over at your leisure sometime soon, but let's look at the first nine verses together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Let's pray together for just a moment. Lord, as we take just a few moments to consider this passage, help us to hear your call through the psalmist. Today, more than ever, it needs to be the case that the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to stand up and be a light in a dark world. It is wonderful to gather together and fill the room with people worshiping you. But at this very moment, thousands of people are doing anything else with their Sunday but give you glory. Last time I checked, Jesus died for those folks too. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is actually the first psalm in the fifth book of Psalms. A lot of people say, well, there's just one book of Psalms. But no, if you go and actually look at your book of Psalms, you'll see it's divided up into five books, those 150 psalms divided up into five sections that echo the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And this is the first psalm of the fifth book. And the fifth book, scholars and theologians tell us, is the book that really focuses on the theology of work, the things that you and I can do for the glory of God. How's that for a better definition of work than Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 or 8 to 4 or round the clock or whatever your schedule might be? How about the real purpose, the real work of the human being that God called us to is to be God's people? Day in and day out, morning, noon, and night, and to be about his business. Just like Jesus said when he was 12 years old to his mom and dad, I've got to be about my father's business. We're called to be about our father's business as well. And it all starts and ends with our relationship to God. This psalm starts, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You know, thanksgiving, being thankful to God, is not confined to a Thursday in November. It should be a state of mind, a state of heart continually, because I don't know about you, I don't have enough fingers and toes to count all my blessings. I cannot begin to enumerate the ways that God is good to me. And if you stop and think about it, neither can you. We need to give him thanks continually because he is good to us. Even in the hardest and the most difficult times, he is good to us. And his mercy, it goes on to say, endures forever. That is actually the exact same phrase that Justin Richards stayed on us about all during the revival last week. You can also translate it, and it's translated in the English Standard Version that Justin was using, his steadfast love. Remember Justin talking about that over and over? His steadfast love endures forever. It's the same phrase that Solomon used in the dedication of the temple way back when. Now, if this thanksgiving and this goodness and this mercy and this steadfast love of God is real and meaningful in our lives, then this should happen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God is not much of a topic of conversation these days, you know? And we should not be silent. We should not be secret in who we are. Now, we should also not be obnoxious. And I've seen that happen before, either by people being too pushy with their faith or trivializing their faith by saying, well, praise the Lord, every four or five sentences. You know, after a while, if you say a phrase long enough, it loses its meaning. You know what I'm talking about. That's not what it means here, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But with your life, with your actions, with your words, as God gives you divine appointments and opportunities to share with people about your faith and your perspective and what God has shown you, it's our job to bring Jesus back into the national and the worldwide conversation. You know that? It's our job. And the Lord, when he's talked about it all these days, seems like he's talked about profanely. I think we must be falling down on our job. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let us be out there and unashamed in who we are as forgiven, sanctified, empowered men and women of God to be his servants to the world. Thank you so much, by the way, for bringing those cases of water, and some of you put the buckets together. All these are going to go together, and you know that Southern Baptist Disaster Relief is the third largest disaster relief in the nation. And we're about it again. Bring some more next week. Get that bucket list together. And maybe put a bucket together of the cleaning supplies and all the rest of the things. These go into Louisiana and ultimately to Texas. And that is just the smallest part of who we need to be as God's people. We every day encounter people who need the Lord in their lives, who need to have that conversation. And we need to be better about it. We've got a lot to talk about after all. As you go on in the psalm, verse 2, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You've been redeemed. You've been saved. You've been protected from the work and wiles of the devil. You've been redeemed from your own evil inclinations. You've been redeemed for the purpose of being God's glorious son or daughter. How can that not be something that we're excited about? How can we do anything other than share about that? And think about who's been redeemed. You know, if you look around this room, we're all different kinds of people. We're young and we're old and we're tall and we're short and we're all different kinds of qualities. It's just like what it says here, that he's redeemed us. He's gathered us from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. If I had time, I'd ask for a raising of hand of who's from the north, who's from the south, who's from the east, who's from the west. You know where I'm from. Last 20 years, you've been loving me anyway, and I sure appreciate that. New York, by the way, for those of you who don't know. You see, it's not about where we're from. It's not about who our mama or our daddy was. It's not about what culture we come from. It's about Jesus loving us and dying for our sins and drawing us by his Holy Spirit into his presence. And when we become his, we become family, and all the other differences melt away, or at least ought to. We've been through hard times, and the psalmist here brings up the ultimate example of that, the Exodus experience. where the people spent 300 years in slavery and then were miraculously delivered and redeemed. And then, because they still, in spite of all that, weren't really trusting the Lord, had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted for them. And then they cried out to the Lord. Have you ever cried out to the Lord in your distress, in your confusion, in your loneliness? Have you ever cried out to the Lord? If you have, then He's answered you. And if you say, well, I cried out to the Lord, He didn't answer me. Well, wait. Sometimes you have to wait for it. But He never leaves a cry unanswered. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered us. He delivered them out of their distress. Beyond that, and to me this is the most exciting part about our relationship with the Lord. You know, some people miss out on the best part of salvation. They make the mistake of thinking that the best part of salvation is being saved. That's just the first part of salvation. The best part of salvation is that He shows us a way to go. I was saved when I was 9. I'm glad that wasn't the end of it in my relationship with God. I didn't really learn that there was a life to live for God's glory until I was about 17. But that's been a while back too. I sure am glad that there's been a journey for me. And the Lord has laid out a path for me. That's something that I can share, and you can share about your journey as well. We need to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. We've all got a journey. We've all got somewhere we're going. And if we're doing it the right way, we're following the footsteps of Jesus. And we're on the journey that He lays out before us. So with all this, why are we so often silent? Well, it's not just a modern problem, because look what the psalmist says in verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Even back then, people were kind of pushing what God was doing in their lives under the rug. They were not letting the redeemed of the Lord say so. They were not doing that crucial thing of giving a testimony, a word of testimony about who God is and what God can do in our lives. That, by the way, is more often than not what gets the ball rolling in somebody else's life who needs to meet the Lord. You meet somebody who by word, by deed, by a mixture of ways, shows you who Jesus is. And the Holy Spirit uses that to begin that internal conversation that leads you to Him. Why are we so silent? The day is long past for us to be silent anymore. Because you know what? Our culture no longer talks about the Lord. My son, for my birthday, gave me 3 boxes full of old novel and novella magazines from the 60s. I am slowly working my way through them. And all these stories, and these are not Christian magazines. It's an old magazine called Analog, science and science fiction. But they're chock full of biblical references to all kinds of biblical stories and to things that Jesus said. And the assumption was back in 1964 that most everybody would pick up on that. That's gone from our world today. You make a reference to Noah and the flood, people go, who? You talk about that guy Jonah who got swallowed by the whale, they go, huh? You say something about, well, you know, God has His eye on every sparrow that falls, and they might say, well, who said that? Because the Christian faith has been washed out of our culture today. If the redeemed of the Lord don't say so, nobody will. And after all, He is the only one who can satisfy the human heart. People are out looking for meaning and purpose in life, and generally they're not finding it. We know how they can. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, a few weeks ago, I concluded a sermon with a reference to a song, Little Things Mean a Lot. And let me tell you, I got people come up to me, people sending me text messages, people posting about it on Facebook. You know, when you do that to a preacher, he wants to do that again. So I've got two songs to end things up with today. Two's better than one, right? Back in 1965, the Rolling Stones sang a song. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction because I try and I try and I try and I try and I can't get no. I can't get no. I can't get no satisfaction. When I'm driving in my car and the man comes on the radio and he's telling me more and more about some useless information supposed to fire my imagination, well, I can't get no satisfaction. When I'm watching my TV and a man comes on and tells me how white my shirt should be, but he can't be a man because he doesn't smoke the same cigarettes as me, I can't get no. I can't get no. I can't get no satisfaction. Mick Jagger sang that when he was 22 years old or so. 52 years later, he's still singing it. And you know what? It doesn't look like he's got no satisfaction yet. Brothers and sisters, there's a reason for that. Because only Jesus satisfies. It's right here in our passage. Only the Lord can satisfy. For he satisfies, verse 9 says, the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. 7 years later, a man named Andre Crouch wrote a song that in 1972, when I was a senior in high school and just the year before, rededicated my life to the Lord and discovered what a journey, a life journey with God might look like. If you don't know Andre's name, he was an amazing Christian songwriter. There's five of his songs in our hymnal. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. My tribute to God be the glory, all of that stuff. But I was at a huge concert. I'd been at a conference for 80,000 Christian teenagers and college students in Dallas, Texas. And it was wrapped up with a big public outdoor concert that 250,000 people showed up to. And Andre was on the stage and he sang this song. All of my friends are wondering about the change that's come over me ever since I accepted the man from Galilee. And how can I explain something that I've never, never known before? It's just like walking in the sunshine after a cold and rainy day. But let me tell you, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied down in my soul. I've got a satisfied feeling down in my soul. You know, the joy of the Lord was so wonderful that I wanted a little bit more. So I got down on my knees and I lifted my hands and I started to praise the Lord. And something started moving, brothers, and turning in the bottom of my soul. And right then and there, you know, the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. And now I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with Jesus down in my soul. Oh, what a difference there is between the world looking for satisfaction in places that it can never be found and someone who's met Jesus looking for satisfaction and finding it on every single level. Are you satisfied today? Maybe you need to reconnect with the Lord in some important way. Maybe you need to make some first-time confession and profession of Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Because without Him, you can never be satisfied. And with Him, you're promised. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's our calling in the world today. Let's pray. Lord, give us, as we have just a moment to respond, the courage that any of us may need to make a public declaration of you moving in our hearts and in our lives. This is a moment, this invitation moment, where the redeemed of the Lord need to say so. What is the purpose of us expanding our facility and committing to reaching out if we are silent in the midst of it? Ultimately, it's going to be word of mouth that grows this ministry and grows this church and grows your kingdom. And if there's anything standing in the way in any of our lives from letting the redeemed of the Lord say so, then now is surely the time to deal with it. In Jesus' name, amen. The song.